The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord does require of us, and we learn to apply God's timeless truths into our lives, seeking to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, the number of names is core to the post-ascension church. Let me repeat that. The number of names is core to the post-ascension church. We know and honor the 12 disciples, also known as the 12 apostles, but do we give honor to those 120 people that prepared themselves for the coming kingdom? Could one of us have been among those people if we had lived back then? Interesting. Next, this is the third book in the Bible that we're studying from an expository point of view. So we're looking at these three different books from an expository element. This is the third time also that we find out it is based on the fulfillment of prophecy from the scriptures, this book as well. It could be that there's a key for us in this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And finally, Judas is a mystery to many people, but he was one of the 12 in everything. His death seems like a contradiction. We explore why it's not.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? That's always nice. You can reach out to us by email, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do, Terrific T will answer the phone. And when you talk to Terrific T, it's just like driving a new car. Oh, wow. New car. Get out of town. Here's the bottom line. You can
great. Driving a new car. You like that one, huh?
Here's the bottom line. If you've got a praise report, a prayer request, you want to share something, you got a question, you've got an answer to Bible trivia, whatever's going on, we're glad to do our best to help you out. We just don't want you to be afraid to connect to us. We'll do our best to encourage you and get you to the place you want to go to. In lieu of that, here is our first Bible trivia question for this hour, talking about a life change and a name change. The Apostle Paul had a name before the Apostle Paul. What was his name before he was known as Paul? That's the question. What was his name? What was his name before he was known as Paul? If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Either way, that will work out just wonderful. Okay? All right. Do we have anything else we need to cover? Website. Let's do the website. Don't forget about the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we got somebody calling in to respond, and we will give them a chance to answer that question, and then we will go from there into our expository on the book of Acts. I think some of it's pretty fascinating. I certainly hope you will enjoy it. I hope it'll be a blessing for you. That's really our biggest thing, is just to be an encouragement and a blessing. We hope we're doing that part anyway. Okay, we ready? We ready? Here we go. Here we go. Leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good day, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. You know, I've only got one more chapter in the next 2 weeks to read on this book that I absolutely cannot stand, but I have to read it for a doctorate. I sent the professor a note saying, I just want you to know that now that I've read this book, no matter what happens, you need to give me an A. I don't think he's going to buy that, but you never know. Okay, we're looking for a name change. What was the name of the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul?
Wasn't it Saul?
Yes, that is correct. Some people miss that because it's so simple, but Saul became Paul. In some earlier Bibles, earlier translations, they would say Saul was destroyer and Paul was builder in regards to names, but that's not true. It just sounded good.
Oh. All right, then. Well, hey, thanks, y'all, and have a good day.
All right, thanks. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. Those little tidbits, they can be brutal sometimes. Good job. Good job on that phone call, on that answer. Okay, ready? Here we go for Expository Thursday. Here we go.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Okie dokie, let's get right to the text. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up. Now, if you remember, we're just coming off the verse 14 where it says, they all continued with one accord in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And we covered that last week. And now at verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. And he said, all right, now I want you to stop right there. Okay? The number of names and the amount was about 120, which means that it was, ready? Right, from a scriptural point of view, about 120. Was it 119? I don't know. Was it 121? I don't know. I know it was about 120, which scripture does probably 35 or 40 times throughout, giving you the approximations. Here was the thing that some people, and I've actually had this discussion with people, and I'm not kidding you, they said, well, when it was all said and done, the size of Jesus's church was only 120 people, because that was how many people were there. Okay, wrong answer. Okay, Jesus had gone throughout the entire territory ministering to people, healing people, helping people understand the truth of the kingdom, and they spread from where they were to different places. Remember the guy who was in the garden and that Jesus had delivered evil spirits from him, and he said, go and tell people. That guy was, an evangelist, basically a traveling evangelist without ever having to go to class. That's pretty good, huh? Never went to, witnessing 101, how to lead your neighbor to Christ. He just told people what God did. Didn't do anything else. And so my point in bringing that back to this is this 120, okay, probably some of them out of the original 70, especially when we get into the choosing of the apostles to replace Judas. It's really important to understand these people were committed to the perpetuation, the commitment of the fulfillment of the Great Commission to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to be at the center, and they knew what had happened to Jesus. These people were not unaware what happened to Jesus. What happened to Jesus in while he was establishing the church? They crucified him. They tore him to pieces. They went after him. They took him down. Jesus rose from the dead. These people that are what is called the number of names, the people, about 120 people who made that commitment, knew what happened to Jesus Christ. And they made the decision, no matter what happens, we're going to move forward. We've seen the resurrected Jesus. We've connected. We know he's alive. No matter what happens, from a societal point of view, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our key message. You can come up with all the other, you know, things in the world and all the other, you know, bizarre, we'll have this, we'll have this. But Jesus got up again after being killed. Period. And these 120, these people, of which the disciples are a part of, and Jesus' brothers are a part of, and Mary is a part of, and a whole bunch of other people that are connected to Jesus, these people probably get almost no honor. You hear very little about the number of names. These people were the people. Before the Holy Spirit fell, these are the ones that got together and said, let's keep this going. Let's do what the Lord tells us to do. There's a promise coming. We're not going to go anywhere until that happens. In the meantime, we're going to continue in prayer. We're going to continue in one accord. We're going to seek what the Lord desires from us. In the meantime, let's take care of some little bit of business. You know, Judas exited. Let's step in, fill his place, because it started with 12. It needs to be 12 for it to be a grouping, and so we want to add one more. Let's get to work. And they never quit moving forward once they encountered Jesus. What an example for you and I, knowing that they could suffer the same fate that Jesus suffered, and yet gathering together nonetheless, right? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
On the phone with us today, our privilege to have Kirk Cameron, who is coordinating the conference for Love Worth Fighting For, a marriage event. Kirk, are you with us?
I'm here.
I'm glad.
I'm here. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's my privilege to have you on the show. I'm glad you're joining us. I got to tell you, here's something that nobody knows in all the world except for my wife. When you did the movie Fireproof in the 2008 period, it is the only movie in my entire life, and I'm in that post-50 category. It's the only movie in my entire life that I gave to other friends as long as I've been alive, because I thought it would be beneficial for their marriage. It was truly an inspirational movie that, in my marriage, it's a great marriage. It just encouraged me to make it that much greater.
Oh, man, that's great to hear. That encourages me a lot. And I've heard other people have said that as well. And, my hat goes off to the guys who wrote the script and the church that made the movie. And I was really honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, you did a great job, man. I really got to tell you, man. I know there's you got things that you grow up with and you did things with it, but that kind of stuff where you have an opportunity and you were able to play a character that really conveys, hey, at times in marriage, there's a struggle, but there's this promise from the Lord. There's this capacity from the Lord to have a marriage that gets better and better as long as you're in it and not sitting on the outside watching it.
Right on, man. I often say that marriage never fails. Marriages do not fail. People fail. God made the universe. He made it perfect, and we introduced some sin, selfishness, death, destruction into it, And we do the same with marriage. It's perfect. And then we allow bitterness, unforgiveness to creep in and stay there. So what the Love Worth Fighting For event is all about, what Fireproof is all about, and by the way, Love Worth Fighting For, our marriage event, grew out of the Fireproof movie. It basically takes the movie and turns it into a live event, and we bring it to your church, and we talk about those kind of things, is how to resurrect a marriage that has been damaged by selfishness and by bitterness, and where do you find joy and hope and healing? God gives us the capacity for those things, and we talk about where you find it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, we've got our next Bible trivia question, and it's a little tricky. I tell people when it's tricky because I want you to be aware, could be a little tricky. Little tricky. Here we go. In Nebuchadnezzar's famous dream in the book of Daniel, who is symbolized by the majestic tree that is cut down? This is in Daniel chapter 4, for those of you who want to kind of hunt it down. In Nebuchadnezzar's famous tree dream, who is symbolized by the majestic tree that is cut down? I'm just going to leave it there and say a little bit of a trick question. Okay? A little bit. Trick question. Okay, I have a joke. It's not, I'm going to get a letter on this one. You know, sometimes I think I should do the joke just so I can get the extra letters. Isn't that terrible? Are you ready for this one? I think you're going to like this. It's a little off. It's a little cutting. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. Just be aware of that. Okay, you ready for this? Got your buzzer ready? All right, here we go. A man visited a pastor. A man visited the pastor, a woman well known for her charitable impulses. The pastor, he said, he broke into a voice. I wish to draw your attention to a terrible plight of a very poor family in this neighborhood. The father is not able to work. The mother is just too sick. Their multitude of children, they don't have enough food, and they're about to be turned out into a cold, empty street unless somebody gets together, like the people at your church, and pays the amount of $900. How terrible, exclaimed the preacher's wife. Wow, said the pastor. Who may I ask, who are you? The sympathetic visitor applied his handkerchief to his eyes and said, I'm the landlord, he sobbed. Come on. Is that a good one? That's not bad.
That was funny.
That's funny. These people are just get this sculpt. Oh, no, this has got to be so pure. It's got to be that pure. Don't listen to radio. Okay, because that's just my advice. All right, what do we do? We did that, and now we're going to go into the rest of the teaching. Is there anything else we need to cover? Did we cover anything else? We're good? Okay. All right, here we go. I want to go back into this teaching in regards to the book of Acts. For those that are out there that are offended, I'm sorry that you are so easily offended. Maybe you should read 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what the text says in Matthew and Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who had become a guide to those who had arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part in this ministry. Couple things I want to talk about in regards to this text. First of all, there is a passage in Revelation that makes mention that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to listen to that portion. The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of who? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when you're in the Word and you see this scripture is being fulfilled by this, this means this. And as you read the New Testament, you'll notice there are hundreds of these fulfillments. All of those fulfillments and all of the fulfillments from the Old Testament and all the fulfillments in the New Testament and all the fulfillments that took place in the Old Testament, every one of those is the exact same. It's the testimony of Jesus, and it's in the spirit of prophecy. When you're reading a book like Ezra, and you know that Jeremiah's prophecy is being fulfilled, and you're a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, you should understand that from Revelation, that's the testimony of Jesus, that spirit of prophecy. Now, a lot of people will take that spirit of prophecy and say, well, that applies to today and different people speaking prophetically. And I can't say that's 100% wrong. I would never say that. I can never say. I know people who have spoken to people who are very prophetic. One guy that I am familiar with had a very, very deep experience and was really committed to sharing it. And I just believe that he's telling all with his heart what's true. But when we're talking about scripture that says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, that has greater application to the fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. And every time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or you read the book of Acts, or you read anything from Romans to Philemon, or from Hebrews to Jude, or anything in Revelation, and you see the prophecy being fulfilled, that's Jesus saying, it's me. Hello. It's me. And that's why bibliology is so fascinating, because Jesus is called the Word in the beginning of John. And then we have what in the Bible? The Word. And that connection is solid. It's sure. No prophecy has ever failed. None. And so as you see and read scripture, you understand this is all a big message from God. People can't figure out, well, why are you so harped? Why do you harp so much on the Bible? Why are you so, you know, committed to it? It's like, because it is a means to an end to lead you to get closer to God. It's what God has to say. Now, the Bible is not God, and people that worship the Bible as God, that's adultery. Idol worship of Bible. You can't do that. But the words that are in there testify to Jesus. And as you engage in the Word of God, you get to understand who Jesus is more and more. And what book in there is in all of your life that the enemy wants to keep you away from but the Bible? I mean, it's the most amazing element there is. Remember, and we've talked about this before, that God breathed into Adam his breath. And as you read in Job and as you read in Psalms, the breath of God and the spirit of God are connected. Well, what is it that scripture is? It's God breathed. It's anointed by the spirit. And when you read the word of God, that breath that's anointed comes upon you. And you have revived. And you feel restored. Or you're re-energized. And this is why that's important. So when you're reading something like this, it's just such a little verse in Acts chapter 1. But listen to how important it is. Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which is the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Had to be fulfilled because it's the testimony of Jesus. The fulfillment of prophecy, every time you read it, you should go, there's a testimony of Jesus. There's a testimony of Jesus. There's a testimony of Jesus. And that's why you hear, not just myself, you hear a lot of preachers, a lot of really good preachers say, hey, you need to have your BFN in the book, which stands for your big fat nose. You got to get in there. You got to read it. I don't care if you listen to it by tape or by CD or on a station. That part doesn't matter, but you have to be engaging with the word. You can't just listen to preachers preach and teachers teach. You have to be in there. And the word is so available for you and I. You can get it free in 1,000 places. So there won't be any excuse when people go, well, I never had a Bible. That'll never fly. That might fly for other people in other countries, not in this country. Remember what Billy Graham said. He said, if you live in America, you are the rich man in the Bible. So keep in mind what's being said and what's being taught, that the prophecy of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And yes, that's future prediction, but prophecy is also declaration. When it talks about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, it says those that speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those three elements are also that way. See what I'm saying? Oh, don't get me going. Get me rolling. I get all riled up. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like this. Don't take it that way. I'm just really committed to us being really committed to it. Okay? All right. Do we got somebody who wants to answer the trivia? Okay. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Hold on. Hold on 1 second. I got to turn the radio down.
Okay.
I'll be right there. I'll be right there. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right, Mary. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Now, we only got about 1 minute, so I need you to, we'll need to kind of get to an answer sooner than later, but I bet you have the right answer. I'm betting $1 million.
Oh, don't bet $1 million.
Okay, that's right. I don't have $1 million.
What's that game called?
The Nebuchadnezzar's tree dream.
Where you have the false money.
Who is symbolized by that tree on that from Nebuchadnezzar? Remember when he had that dream about the
kingdom? His kingdom will depart from him.
Right, so that tree was Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. So that's great. The tree was him. That's what's so cool about that.
Well, and that's what happened to him. You know, he ended up like I had a dream years ago. I had a dream about Nebuchadnezzar being like an animal. Like the feathers, you know, his hair was like feathers.
Yep.
And his nails were like claws.
Yep.
I had a dream about him once.
Now that's amazing that you had a dream about Nebuchadnezzar. Good job, Mary. Excellent work though. That was an excellent job. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Okay, all right, we're going to take our break here. We might come back pretty close to on time. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Nice work on these trivia questions by everybody. Deborah did a good job. Mary did a good job. Troy did a good job. Very, very, very good. Appreciate that. Texters, we appreciate that very much. Here's our next trivia question. What new name? Now, this should be really easy. What new name did Jesus give to Simon, one of his 12? What new name did he give to Simon? Okay. There you go. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, 214-210-8483 for those that want to do texting. We have our history, but before we do that, let us do our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. YouTube, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. There you go. Don't forget to visit our website. There's what Julianne wrote. I think it's very stirring, very passionate. There's also a lot of helps on there, encouragements, different things on the website to encourage people. Plus, you can go there and fill out a form, and we'll pray for you. And we don't have to make it public at all. You just kind of keep me posted as what's going on, and we're praying for you, that kind of thing. That's a good way to keep it private. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Trivia question, what was the name that Jesus gave Simon? We have a whole bunch of texts coming in, and we'll give you that opportunity to also call in. The call number, 972-445-0770, and the text, 214-210-8483. So far, everybody's getting it correct, so I'm very impressed. I mean, everybody. That's pretty good. That's a lot of people getting it correct. History, right? We got a little bit of history. It's just short, but it'll be fun. Let's do it. History.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Not that sure how to approach this, but this is actually the kind of day it is. It is Thank You Thursday, which I don't even know what is this. It's like,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did we say thank you to one another or to Thursday? That's what I can't figure out. What, I mean, is there a thank you, you know, Tuesday, or is just Thursday? I don't. It's Thank You Thursday. It's also Dance Day. There's a few things you want to see in this life. Me dancing, not one of them. And then watch this. Tell me if you like. I don't know if you like this or not. I don't know. National Shrimp Scampi Day.
I do like them. Yes.
Okay. I'm making sure. I love shrimp scampi.
I'm just saying. I just love it. All right. Here's two very bizarre things in history, and then we'll move on to something even more bizarre, probably one of the most controversial things, again, that I've talked about. In 1852, the first edition of Peter Radget's Thesaurus is published. Ever use a thesaurus or use that to get other words, and you'll put that in? When Noelle and I first got together, she was big into crosswords, and I was clueless. So I learned the value of thesaurus like right away. And then also, this is a very bizarre one. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write history, okay? In 1945, on this day, Hitler's wedding, the German leader Adolf Hitler married his mistress Eva Braun. They reportedly committed suicide together the following day. It's like, wow, that is just weird stuff, right? Some history is kind of bizarre. All right, here we go. Trivia question. What new name did Jesus give Simon, one of his 12 disciples, also known as apostles? You're welcome to text in or to call in. Let me get into this text. This is going to be a little controversial, and that's okay. That part's fine, but it's important to understand. This is in Acts chapter 1, verse 15 again, and I'm going to take it right to verse 17, which is the big key. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was 120, and he said, "Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." For those that theologically are, you know, really, it's really tough to hear that, you must understand that there were 12 disciples. They were also called apostles. It's about a split, close to a 50-50 split, but mostly apostles, but then also disciples. The bottom line is that Judas was one of the 12. And we sit there and think, how? I mean, was he a believer? There's nothing in Scripture to indicate he was not a part of the 12 when they did their evangelistical work, and they were working miracles, and when they would encounter people, and they would talk to people. There's nothing in there that says everybody went but Judas. There's just, you can't even read the, well, there's no way, dude, you can't say any of that. I mean, these were 12 guys. They paired up in twos. So that would be 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. You know what I'm saying? So there wasn't no solo acts. And the reality check was that Peter, by his own mouth, said that Judas was numbered with us. And he was one of them. And he had a part in that ministry. Which means that for 3 years, whatever that time frame was, 3 to 3.5 years, he was discipled by Jesus. Even though Jesus knew this guy was going to turn and burn, he was going to turn from Jesus, he was going to betray Jesus and abandon the faith. And some people say, well, he never really could have been a believer. And other people say, well, how is he supposed to, you know, do something different? What he did of his own, but it was foreknown that he was going to do it. But he was the son of perdition. And perdition means eternal waste. So the idea behind this is, how does that work? How does he become a part of that, but then not a part of that? And there's a multitude of theories. Some of them are, he never was a believer, or he was a believer and he stopped believing. He tried to manipulate God by forcing Jesus to do things. There's all of those theories. And they all sound fantastic, but we don't know much other than Jesus specifically selected him and invested in him and committed time to him and effort and education and resources he was in charge of. The guy was the biggest of the crooks. We know that from John, because he would take from the very bag, that he would take from the very account that was being held for all the disciples, that Judas would take money from it and use it for himself. We know that. So we know he's very sly, very sneaky. And yet Jesus let him be in charge of the money. And you think, how does the Lord, you know, allow that to happen? And the reality check for us is that he gives everybody an opportunity. And people might say no. I think, well, you know, why though? Why did Judas do it? I don't know. We know that he He was not altogether a great guy by some of the things that he said, by some of the things that he did, and he betrayed the Lord. And so there's some people that you're going to come across, and I want to say this in the nicest possible way, and you're going to invest time and energy and effort and education, and you might be really supportive and encouraging them, and they might turn around and stab you in the back. And if you don't think that could happen, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They might turn around and do something bad. They might say something bad. They might do something bad. They might do something to really hurt your feelings. They might devastate you. In my own life, to other Christians, I've done dumb things. I wish I never did. I feel sorrow for them. But this is a guy that did what he did, and Jesus still committed to him, even though he knew what he was going to do. So our response is, you know, get that bad guy and beat him up and get him out of the group. Nope, that's not how Jesus did it. He committed to him. Okay. All right, so Mary just wants to make a comment. Does she know we only have a little bit of time? Okay, all right, let's bring her out real fast, okay? Hi, Mary, this is David.
Okay.
You only got about a minute.
You know, none of them.
Go ahead.
None of the apostles are disciples, if you want to call them that. Because disciple means learner. Anyway, none of them really understood fully, I don't believe, who Jesus really was. Now, the Jews and the Christians were counting on a Savior to save them from the Romans, if I understand this correctly. And it could be that Judas thought at the end that Jesus would conquer the Romans for them. I think that's a possibility.
It is a possibility, and that's what we don't know. We don't know what's going on there because the Scripture doesn't give us that behind-the-scenes mind working. So that is a possibility, yeah, for sure. And that's a great comment to add.
Yeah. And you know, since they really didn't think he would raise himself from the dead.
Yeah.
We know that. None of them thought that. So I think that after he rose from the dead, I think their understanding increased greatly. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Mary. She's so cute. I love her. Don't you love her? Good job, Mary. I know you can hear me now. Good job. All right, so that's something. Now, when we get back, I'm just telling you right now, the most brutal thing of all. That's all I'm going to say. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I did not give the trivia answer to the last question. I don't know. I got a lot going on. Yeah, what do you want from me? What new name did Jesus give to Simon? The answer, of course, is Peter. Peter, who was also called Cephas, just so you can be aware. That's Simon Peter that we know him by, the rock, or one of the many rocks, I should say. Here's the next trivia question. I won't mess up on this one because I'm going to make sure the T kind of warns me because I spaced it. According to the Old Testament prophet, there will come a day when young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Which prophet said, young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770 or you can text in 214-210-8483. Just because of time, we're not going to be able to do any of the other stuff. We're just going to have to get right into it. So if you think you know the answer, let me know. I will have T kind of wave me down at the end in case I miss this. But here's a very important portion. Nope, somebody's calling in. So let's give them that opportunity to say. So that's a really fascinating, you know, question. Who said young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams? Ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. All right, here's a classic trivia question because it's pretty important, especially in regards to Acts. There will come a day when young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Which prophet said that?
Isaiah?
Nope, but I'm going to walk you through it. Okay, so that's all right. Don't worry about it. So this is the guy that talked about... let's see if I can give you a hint. He talked about crickets also taking a lot of territory, and his name starts with a J, but he's not the big Jeremiah prophet. So who would be somebody else? Rhymes with coal. Starts with a J, rhymes with coal.
Oh, man.
Okay. His first part of his name is rhymes with Mo. It starts with a J. What starts with a J and rhymes with Mo? Job? Okay, so right now the prophet who gave this prophecy says, that's okay.
Job, yeah.
That's all right. Let's go for the rest of it. Put an L on the end of the Joe.
Joel.
That's it! Joel! There you go. That's all right, remember, that's the way you get there. It's Joel 2:28, which we're going to look at when we get into Acts chapter 2. That's great that you called in, you gave it that shot, and that's how you
I
get there.
To catch, I try to catch you all the time, and I remember you every day because part of my daily prayer is that only you hear my silent cries and prayers. So I always think of you when I repeat that every day.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I just greatly appreciate it. I thank you for calling in. I want you to call in anytime, okay?
I'll be back.
Okay, I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Good job. New call. Guess what I prayed for today? A new caller. Ah, the Lord. He's so nice, isn't he? Okay, here's the thing. Again, everybody's going to go like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't freak out on me. I need these few minutes to finish this, okay? All right. Stay with me for a little bit here. This is what verse 18 and 19 said. This is after he said he was numbered with us and obtained a part of our ministry. He's talking about Judas. Now, this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails, all his insides, gushed out. It also became known as to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Ekel Dama, which is field of blood. Now, let me say this real quickly. That is different than when you read Matthew 27:5. And Matthew 27:5 says, referring to Judas, he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and he departed and went and hanged himself. So you're thinking, well, wait a minute. It says that he went and hanged himself in Matthew, but in Acts, they're saying that he kind of fell out of the, you know, fell off the hill kind of mentality. How does that work? What does that mean? How did he fall headlong and burst open in the middle? Here's the answer. It's not even complex. I'm just telling you right now. It's both. It's always been both, and it's pretty simplistic to understand it's both, okay? Follow what I'm going to say. Judas hanged himself on a tree on the edge of the precipice that overlooked the Valley of Hinnom. He hung there for some time. The limb of the tree snapped. The rope gave way. Judas fell to the ground. His body mangled in the process. Why? Because there's nothing but jagged rocks at the bottom. So on the way down in the Valley of Hinnom, as he fell, you know, it's a 25 to 40 foot drop, and it's almost directly perpendicular, and he fell on all these sharp rocks and everything, and he went like when somebody falls on like jagged things and they go all over the place. And so Matthew records the hanging part, and Luke, in recording it, talks about how at the end he fell, you know, squished all over the place. Disgusting. I know it's disgusting. Don't get mad at me. But the idea behind this is that when you have an account of an event, people focus on different elements of the event. So if somebody jumps off and I want to say this very carefully, and this is not to encourage anybody to do anything bad, so don't do that. And if you're desperate and need help, call us. But if somebody jumps off of a bridge and then shoots themselves, it's like, what kills them, the bullet or the water? It's like, okay, so you got to think in those terms. Like, okay, well, this is the two things that took place. He hung himself, and that hanging himself, at some point, it can't last forever, it falls. And this is a few days later, boom, down he goes, splats all over the place. It's like, that's what Peter's talking about. So Peter goes, now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. How'd that happen? Because the 30 pieces of silver he threw back, they took and they bought a field with it. And he fell headlong, burst open, and his entrails gushed out. That's disgusting. And everybody dwelling in Jerusalem knows, hey, that's why they call it that they call it Ekel Dama, which is the field of blood. And this is what I want to point out. That's not even... Boy, if you're like me and you study I don't want to say that way, but if you do a lot of this kind of study, a lot of apologetic study and a lot of, examination, you'll come to find out that's not even an interesting potential contradiction. There are some much better ones. I don't mean that to say the Bible has any contradictions. It doesn't. But there's much better ones than that. And my point is, that's not even close. That's not even in the ballpark. I mean, I got a book about the top 40, you know, most difficult passages to interpret. Every one of them has an answer. And none of them are explained away. That's what's so funny. It's every one of them, when you dig deep enough, you go, oh, well, that meant that, and that meant that. And it's like, oh. Like, oh, who knew, right? And it's just like, that's what you get into. And that's what part of apologetics is looking at that. Here's the bottom line. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, and that he appeared to others? Do you believe he's coming again? Here's another question with that. Do you believe the same God that brought that truth into your life can write a book? And then your answer is, well, man messes it up. Yeah, well, if God just let man do it all by himself, then you're right. But God takes over in certain circumstances and situations, especially when it comes to him communicating what he wants us to know. And man would have blown up the earth 100 times over by now, except for the grace of God. God keeps everything the way that God wants to keep it. And my whole point in sharing that with you is you go through passages, you go through scripture, you don't understand them. Don't be afraid. I know people that are afraid because they don't understand it. Don't do the exact opposite. Don't run away from it. Run into it. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ran away from God. When God established the law, the only time the high priest can go into the presence of God was dealing with sin, running into God. Do the exact opposite. Run into it. Study it. Learn it. Grow it. You're going to find out just how wise God really is. He's got, I know, but there's so much to study, Dave. I know. My lifetime won't be enough. I can promise you. But that's what the whole pursuit is. That's why it's fun to pursue. And I've come before the Lord and said, I don't understand this. How do you reconcile this and this? And within a very short span of time, the Lord's like, look at this, look at this, look at this. Like, I never saw that before. That's how it works. Now, this is the same God that created the universe when he spoke. So let's just back it up one quick step. Of all the books on the planet, can God write a book? The variation between the 40-plus English translations is less than 0.5%. Nothing dealing with any doctrinal differences. Like, okay. Okay. The message is getting through loud and clear. God loves you. You're on a pathway to destruction. Through Jesus Christ, you can get out that pathway and get into an awesome eternity with God. Okay? Who would ever thought you'd get that deep just talking about Judas Iscariot and how he offed himself? Amazing. Anyhow, enough of that. We'll take a break. We're coming back tomorrow. So you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.